Welcome. We'll begin with questions. So anyone who has a question can ask their question now, and I'll incorporate the answers into my talk. I'll incorporate all the answers at once into my talk.
What do you think about or using natural herbs for medicine travels, and how that?
For sickness or pain or?
More like, you know, shamanistic traveling with ayahuasca and things like this, how even I know that awareness cannot be affected by anything, but in for so long time this has been used as a vehicle, and I'm wondering what you think about that or what Great Freedom thinks about that.
Something that came up yesterday, it's actually passed already, but I'll maybe just, it ties into the question that was just asked, is about the relative manifest world. I had a little insight yesterday afternoon. Like the Buddha talks about the manifest world in exhausting analysis. Exhaustive analysis. But you don't talk about the relative world. You only talk about awareness. It's not a question, really.
A question and an assumption.
Yeah. I mean, you don't talk about cause and effect or various manifestations of the world. But I don't think you'll deny them as having a relative truth.
I think this question was asked before, and I just want to ask again, that all things experienced through the senses are actually experienced from awareness. Awareness is where it's all taking place. And I'm curious how, because that seems to settle nicely, but then the things, the objects themselves that are arising in awareness, to see those as awareness is where I'm sort of confused.
It's about resting. It's there are some times of periods of time when I just forget myself, and it's, I know there's nothing there is to be forgotten, but there's no one that can recognize awareness when this happens. Like when you're writing a book, or if I'm talking to someone, or if I'm teaching a class, and when I get out of the class, I realize that I wasn't there for 2 hours. I was just speaking. So how can you recognize awareness when you're like you're caught in this forgetting yourself, and there's nowhere else? Is it clear, the question?
Oh, yeah.
Like if we're reading pure space, so we're reading in turns, and my turn is coming. And sometimes I'm reading the entire paragraph, and okay, I'm reading it, and it's okay, but that's not me that's read the paragraph. I have no recollection of me reading it. I have no understanding of what was it said in the paragraph? I was just read it, and that's it. Thank you.
Anyone else?
Okay, yesterday I had a bit of a funny turn, some overwhelming negative emotions. And my question is, self-knowing awareness and awareness are not two, but I can get rid of the immense turmoil by going to sleep, the end of self-knowing awareness, basically. And that just stops it. So could you just talk about that? The difference between when self-knowing awareness isn't there, when there's just awareness, there's no turmoil anymore.
Yeah.
But obviously, upon awaking, My arse falls off, basically.
Upon awaking, the circumstances are just whatever they are. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We were asked yesterday whether we're entirely ready to let points of view go, not go, but be as they are.
Yeah.
And I, of course, said yes, but a few hours later I realized I'm not. I still think that things have to be changed. And
oh, the points of view have to be changed.
Or something has to change. So I realize I'm not ready to let them be as they are.
When we say, are you ready to let go of the points of view, isn't the I who wants to let go of the point of view also a point of view?
Thanks. It's not even a question, Candace, but for the benefit of some new people here today, could you explain what points of view means?
All we can absolutely say about ourselves for certain is that we are aware. That's all we can really say for certain. And within that all-encompassing awareness, which can be considered a peer view, and that it is all-encompassing and includes and contains everything, within that totally clear peer view of awareness are included and contained all points of view. And all points of view, and points of view is another term for appearances or phenomena or thoughts, emotions, and experiences, all of those that appear are points of view of that awareness. In other words, they're just points of clear awareness and nothing else. And when they appear, most of us have been trained to hold to those points of view and take them to have an independent existence or independent identity, whether it's the point of view of being an individual, in other words, a personal identity, or any other point of view that's associated with that personal identity. And when we tense and hold to those points of view, all that's happening is that we have a free-flowing choice of how we use our awareness. As human beings, we have a choice of how we use our awareness. And it isn't even important to know who has the choice or why we have the choice. Those are questions a journalist would ask. And we all see what journalists have made of the world. Most journalists have made of the world. So we don't really even need to know the answers to those questions. All we need to know is that this simple process occurs, that there is awareness, and it either holds to points of view that appear. And when it holds to a point of view that appears, it discriminates about that point of view. In other words, it decides that the point of view is positive or negative, or that it is something to indulge or renounce. And in doing so, it throws us into a belief in a world of points of view in which all points of view have an independent existence of some kind, whether they're positive or negative, and we spend our entire life discriminating whether or not everything we see is positive or negative. When we elect to do so, that's just a simple choice we have. We can spend our life lost in the illusion that all points of view have an independent existence other than awareness, or we can just relax the hold on points of view, completely relax the hold on points of view. And that's what it means to let point of view be as it is. It means we just relax the belief, whatever it is that we've been believing in. And for many of us, we have so many beliefs in so many points of view that when we just relax the belief in one point of view and let that point of view be as it is, it holds up. It frees up our need to hold to other points of view. So it isn't that this is one point of view at a time we're addressing. when we realize that any point of view does not have an independent nature, and meaning that it does not have an independent nature, the meaning is that the nature of the point of view itself is not independent of awareness. So the point of view itself has no independent existence, no independent identity, no substance or characteristics of its own. Everything that appears, it has no substance or characteristics of its own. It has no independent nature. It is not substantial in its own right. When we believe that everything is substantial in its own right, then we believe in everything we see as though it is independent and that it's something to accept or reject. And if it's something we want to reject, it's something we want to get rid of. And if it's something we accept, we want to hold on to that. So all of our life we spend trying to hold on to certain points of view and get rid of other points of view. But neither of these is possible. It's impossible to hold to the ones we like, and it's impossible to get rid of all the negative points of view that we don't like. So we expend our entire life energy over the course of our entire lifetime trying to hold on to what we can never hold on to and trying to get rid of what we can't get rid of. So what to do? What to do about this? Just relax. Just relax. And all of the labels that are attributed to all of the different points of view, they're just as empty as the point of view itself. They describe what has no substance and characteristics of its own. And if we want to make sense of our own inner life or the world we live in, the best way to go about that is to just relax and no longer hold to all the points of view that have been conventionally described as being something. And what happens when we do so is that rather than relying on all the words in the dictionary to form meaning out of our lives, we begin to rely on wisdom, the wisdom of awareness that is the basis of all appearances. So in that, then, we can begin to clearly see through points of view. We can begin to cut through points of view. We can begin to see these points of view as they are. That even though they have conventionally described something to us, that this is something we have just learned, it doesn't mean that it's true. It doesn't mean that it's the true nature of reality. Now, some of us are more invested in points of view than others. So, you know, but it's still up to us, no matter how invested we are in the points of view. It's important to just relax and let the points of view be as they are, including the point of view of an individual identity. If we spend our whole life trying to change the personal identity and make it into a better personal identity, then we actually spend all our life toying around with something that really has no substance or characteristics in its own right. So if we're trying to improve our conduct or behavior, the way we think or our emotions, we're dealing with a point of view called a personal identity that does not exist in its own right. It has no independent existence. And thus we spend our whole life with our energy drained by assuming that everything is something when it really cannot be found to exist in its own right. So another way of looking at this is to say that all points of view that appear are like a mirage. A mirage is a vivid appearance, but when examined, it's a vivid appearance of emptiness. It has no existence in its own right. And this is true not only for a mirage, but for all points of view, including a mirage. Other illustrations would be a hologram. A hologram is an incredible projection of something that looks as though it's very real. Say it's a cafe in Paris, and it's filled with people from all over the globe, and one is having a latte and the others having a cappuccino and maybe the others even having a frappuccino. There are all of these different kinds of coffee drinks, caramel macchiato or, whatever your favorite is. See, the points of view are endless, but no matter how real all these things in the hologram look, and no matter how many different languages are being spoken, all that's really there is space. It's comprised entirely of space. It's never been made into anything other than space. It's a vivid appearance of emptiness. So all the visual appearances and all the sounds are self-appearances and self-sounds of awareness. They aren't anything other than that. Anything at all that we sense with any of our senses, whether it's seeing or smelling or hearing or tasting or touching, we only know those to be due to awareness. Without awareness, we wouldn't have the sensation of sight. We wouldn't have the sensation of hearing. We wouldn't have the sensation of smelling. There would be no sensation of tasting and no sensation of touching. So it's awareness that is the entire nature or essence of all of these senses, no matter what they are. The sensations would not be without awareness. So in this simple way, we can show ourselves that awareness isn't something looking at the sensation. The sensation itself is awareness. Awareness, forever empty awareness, is always blended with any sensation. And so too with anything we think or any emotion we have. Those are only due to awareness, and awareness is the entire basic space of that thought or emotion or sensation. Without awareness, none of those things would be known to be. All that appears, all appearances, all points of view are the dynamic energy of awareness and nothing else. They're the pure dynamic energy of awareness and nothing else. And just like the color blue can't be separated out from the sky, so too points of view cannot be separated out from awareness. Now, we can have a bit of an understanding of this mentally, but that won't take us to awareness. We can't really understand awareness just through the mental process. We only get to know awareness. We only gain familiarity with our own awareness as the basis of everything by simply relaxing the hold on points of view, by just resting as awareness for short moments, repeated many times until it becomes automatic. This is the same process by which we learn to hold the points of view. People told us points of view were real. They said, you're a somebody, you're an I, your name is Gabriel, you're a boy, and I'm your mother and father, and you live in Germany or wherever you were born. And so all of these points of view came to be associated with someone called Gabriel. And so for short moments, repeated many times, you identified with this Gabriel creature and identity. It didn't come all at once. Oh, yes, I indeed am Gabriel, and I am a boy. I will grow into a man. No, this came in short moments, repeated many times. And so you gain familiarity with the identity of Gabriel. And in the same very natural, organic way, there's the gaining of familiarity with awareness at the basis of everything. Because we have the habit of dualist perception, it's very tempting to analyze and examine everything that's going on in dualist terms when we're gaining familiarity with awareness. That's called elaboration or description of what is appearing. But don't fatigue yourself in such a way. The descriptions that appear, those two are points of view. So just rest as awareness and know that whatever the descriptions are, those are just points of view too. If you in retrospect or looking back at something and saying, oh, I wasn't there, then that's just an elaboration of timeless awareness that's now been divided into a past time when you were located somewhere and you now have a description of what may have been going on there. To just rest, to relax and allow awareness as the basis of everything means to move out of self-concern and a life focused on self. That's the whole world of point of view. To the openness and spaciousness of all-encompassing wisdom awareness that includes everything. So it includes the personal identity, and it includes everything else. However, it also knows very clearly that none of this that appears has an independent nature of its own. So it never falls to or holds to anything. It doesn't hold to the personal identity as existing, and it doesn't hold to the personal identity as not existing. It's very clear, always and forever, in empty awareness, that there's no need to hold to anything. That anything is held to is an attempt to describe awareness according to certain definitions or according to some kind of substance it has or characteristic it has. It's only in knowing just two simple things. One, that nothing that appears has an independent nature. And two, that relax. But to relax, just relax. Nothing has an independent nature. And this isn't the same thing as nihilism. Nihilism is holding to nothingness. Nothingness is a philosophy that says that everything comes to nothing and it leads to nothing. But when we rest as all-encompassing awareness, we find something much different than that when we don't hold to either that things exist or they don't exist, to either of those points of view. What we find is all-encompassing wisdom. And so we've moved away and gradually opened up from the self-concern of a personal identity to all-encompassing stainless awareness that is inclusive of everything. And what is naturally present in that all-encompassing expanse is wisdom, love, and energy. That's all that can be said to be wisdom, love, and energy. So we're either taking everything, including ourselves, to be someone with an independent nature, or we're relaxing as awareness, which is synonymous with wisdom, love, and energy. In simple human terms, in as far as the problems facing ourselves as individuals or the problems facing the world, we have really taken point of view and the whole belief system, primitive belief system of points of view, we've taken it to the limit in terms of trying to see how that can solve our own problems as individual human beings or the problems of the world as a whole. And what we're finding is that the way we've been thinking isn't able to solve the big problems facing the world, and it isn't able to solve the problems within ourselves. Whatever goes on within individual human beings is also what is played out on a grand scale by all human beings. And when we believe so desperately in all these points of view, like time and place, time and location, cause and effect, when we really believe that's all there is and that those are laws that cannot be changed, then that's all we see. But we don't see what is beyond causation. We don't see what is timeless. It's only in getting to know that aspect of ourselves that is forever timeless and beyond causation that we can definitively conclude that the solution to our problems, whether they're individual or global, lies therein. this is so important for us as a species right now. It's incredibly important for us as individuals. So at least as individuals, we can find within ourselves two things, not only complete mental freedom. So we can find complete mental freedom from everything that appears that seems to be inside ourselves. We can, from this moment on, have complete freedom from all that appears within ourselves, all points of view that appear. At least we can do that. We can also possibly gather together as a human species, getting to know itself as that which is beyond causation, beyond identity with a personal body, and get to know ourselves in a whole new way. So this is also possible. But at the very least, we could say the worst-case scenario would be that just some of us would realize that. The best-case scenario would be that many people would realize that, and that the tide of the human species, its devastation of each other and its devastation of the globe, the planet, could be reversed. So, you know, it really is up to us. It's up to each one of us. We've burned out the possibility of finding worthwhile solutions based on these laws that are really quite outdated and limiting. When we get to know the awareness that is at the basis of everything, we get to know that which doesn't depend on anything. So it doesn't depend on the body. It doesn't depend on any points of view about the body, like birth, life, and death. Awareness is the source, the only source of the labels of birth, life, and death. And it's the only source of the states associated with that birth, life, and death, waking, dreaming, and sleeping. Awareness is forever blended with all these states. However, awareness is beyond all labels. All labels, no matter what they are, have no independent nature. So if we believe we're limited to the body, we believe that when we die, awareness goes. That's the end of awareness. But awareness isn't dependent on any of this. Awareness is that is aware of being born. Awareness is that is aware of living, and awareness is that which is aware of dying. But awareness is not limited by or dependent on any of these descriptions. It depends on no description whatsoever. Nothing that appears within awareness has a nature independent of awareness or has ever existed elsewhere than awareness. Nothing at all can be found within awareness other than itself. And awareness at death, it does not die. At birth, it is not born. So anything that occurs during the interim, that too is awareness, unborn awareness. Nothing, no matter what appears, has an independent nature. Nothing whatsoever can ever be found to exist in its own right. This is very important for us to know and understand. Awareness is not dependent on any concept, label, or point of view whatsoever. So awareness is, no matter whether the label is or not, whether the sun is or burns itself out in 20 million years or not, awareness is. Timeless awareness is. Whether the earth is or not, awareness is. Whether the air is or not, awareness is. Whether space is, the space that's measured by the extent of a surface, is or is not, awareness is. We've learned very primitive beliefs and assumptions about awareness and where it's located. Most of us in this room have learned during our lifetime that awareness is located in and generated by the body. But this is just really a superstition. The proof of it can't be found anywhere, so why continue to believe in it? Awareness is indivisible from everything that is. And awareness is dependent on nothing. It includes everything, all universes, all worlds, anything that can be conceived of or perceived, and even the inconceivable and that which can't be perceived. So no matter what it is, it depends on awareness. Awareness doesn't depend on any of it. So this is a correct understanding about who we are as human beings. To persist in such limiting beliefs about who we are destines our species to extinction. Period. So this is just the way it is. You know, if we continue on this course, then we'll continue on a course where we feel controlled by what appears. Now, a great example of this is population control. No matter how many forms of population control the human species has been able to manifest, we've been unable to control the population. And it spirals out of control. There are increasing numbers of people. And with that, there are increasing numbers of people who need food and clean water. And with the increasing numbers, there's less food and less water. So we have only 15% of the people in the world who have clean water to drink on a daily basis and have food to eat. So the population control, birth control pills, IUDs, condoms, just say no, none of these things. China's policy of limiting the number of births per capita and all of these things, has it ever worked? No, it just leads to more. Why? Because we love to have sex with each other. You know? And no one seems to be able to get beyond this point of view of the biological urge. So nothing can control it. We can't find any point of view that can control another point of view. Do you see what I'm saying? Now, this is a very powerful example because it's only in awareness and being able to relax as awareness and examine the simplicity of what occurs that this very powerful sensation that comes up within us called sexual desire that can be so much fun, or it can be hideous too, you know, as in a population spiraling out of control, that this within us, within awareness and understanding that this intense biological urge has no independent nature, that we can just rest as awareness, that's the ultimate form of birth control. Then we're beyond seeing sexual desire as some kind of thing that's in control of us, you know, which is a totally absurd, limiting, and superstitious notion. It is so primitive that it really defies belief that we would continue on this perilous course of just allowing ourselves pell-mell to do whatever we want. So you see, if we want birth control, and if we want to affect our species in a positive way, we have to know who we are first of all. And if we continue to think that we're just at the whim of things that have been described as biological urges or sexual urges and that they're a reason to behave in a certain way, then, you know, that'll just be the way it is. But, you know, it's incredible within ourselves to rest as awareness and get all these, to know all these points of view as they're specific to us. You know, there's nothing wrong with any of them, whether it's sexual desire or anything else. They're all just labels. They're forever empty awareness. They're vivid appearances of forever empty awareness. But if we take them to be something, they will be. And I'm sure everyone in this room can relate to what I'm saying. When we rest as awareness, we have a choice about what we do in life. We no longer feel like we're controlled by all our points of view. When we rest as awareness, we are beyond that. We're beyond this whole system of cause and effect that has been elaborated as a conventional belief. So it's very, very powerful to get to know ourselves in these ways. And I've used sexual desire as an example because I've never met anyone without sexual desire. Well, I did meet someone once, but, you know, it's very likely that at some point that point of view will come up, so to speak. It is amazing. Mm. Now, you know, I'm sitting here, I'm a human being, so I'm not talking as a philosopher. I'm talking about my own experience. And the Buddha was mentioned. Now, this was the Buddha's primary teaching. He said, my primary teaching is not based on a philosophy. He said, my primary teaching is based on my own experience. And he told everyone he met, he said, don't listen to my philosophy. Test it in your own experience. So this is what I'm telling you too. This is what I found to be true. This is what I found to be the true nature of existence. The true nature of existence that is dependent on no point of view. If we continue to believe in all our points of view that we have, then we just choose to go on that course. But all the while, we not only have complete mental freedom, but beyond the point of view of mental freedom is the clear light of wisdom, the clear light of wisdom that is of benefit to the whole. So this is what we need so much in our human species. Now, you know, there are, and we need it for all beings because we're the ones who have jeopardized everything and everyone through this helter-skelter, pell-mell existence of points of view. We have so many philosophies and descriptions, so many books written about the unmanifest or the manifest or this, that, or the other thing, but, you know, in philosophy, there is nothing. Unless in our own experience we can examine the manifest and we can examine the unmanifest and see that they are not two, that both, no matter what they are, awareness never holds to either. It doesn't hold to the unmanifest. It doesn't hold to the manifest either. It doesn't hold to things exist and it doesn't hold to things don't exist. The clear light of wisdom is beyond all descriptions, all labels, all characteristics, all identities, anything that has ever been attempted to be made into a substance never has been. It never has been. So whether we call it material or matter, and we examine matter, today we can do this in very advanced ways. We can examine anything, ourselves or anything else that appears, we can examine it in a linear accelerator and find that it's nothing but space. And if everything is comprised of space, then where is awareness? Awareness is equal to space. It's never been limited to anything else. And when I talk about space, I don't mean the extent of a surface or what we look out there and we see as space, but that which everything is subsumed in. Everything is included and contained in this greater category. Now, there are many ways of glimpsing reality, glimpsing the true nature of things. However, we can just try to return to a glimpse again and again to prove that that so, or we can, in our own experience, every moment of the day, have the wide open reality that is beyond all glimpses. You know, I grew up in the 60s and 70s, and when a lot of drugs came into fashion, a lot of hallucinogenics, so I've seen it all. You know, I've seen it from the very beginning, and I've seen the results. I've seen it from the very beginning, and I've seen the results. And with hallucinogenics, another reality, so to speak, is glimpsed, a reality that's beyond all realities. However, it means nothing unless we have it in our own experience 24/7. It means absolutely nothing. And so it can become just another indulgence, just another prop for escape. Any point of view that is taken to have an independent nature is though it can provide something. If it's returned to again and again for providing that, rather than just providing an opening to what is real one time or a couple times, then it becomes very limiting. It becomes a prison in its own right. What's important is in our own experience to experience that reality on an ongoing basis. And for that, we are completely at choice. We're completely at choice. And if you want to know who the chooser is and what's chosen, who cares? Just that mental, masturbation is, if that's how you want to spend your life, please don't. Anything that can be thought of or described, it's just a point of view within all-encompassing, free-flowing awareness. All mental activities are always and forever empty and timelessly free. They're nothing but stainless, flawless space. So to try to go into one of them and fool around with it, it just is to get lost in another world. Just to get lost in another world of existence. Life is a lot better than that. Life is completely easeful. Every moment is entirely liberating. Every single moment has never been made into anything. What could be more exciting than that? There's nothing more exciting than that. To hold to every moment desperately as though it is something is to be lost in a very painful existence and to prove over and over again that it all really means something in its own right is also very painful. In fact, it's excruciating and it's extremely tiring. So, some of these points of view that we have, that we've believed in, they're very gripping. And I'm not saying, give them all up or anything like that. No one is to give up anything. Everything's included. Just relax when they appear. And more life is easeful and effortless. Instead of attaching to all the points of view to make a life, there's just wide open space in which a life beautifully appears. And there's the wisdom of knowing what to do with that life and how it can be of benefit to others. And this is all naturally, spontaneously occurring. It's not a religious ideal or a spiritual ideal or anything that's cultivated or developed. It's beyond all ideals, yet includes all ideals. And in that, there is the clear seeing of solutions that can't be conjured up from all this thinking. Whether this applies to ourselves or to anyone else. Now, I know I grew up thinking, some thoughts are good, some thoughts are bad, but I could never really understand that concept. And some emotions are good and some emotions are bad. But yet, many people play these things out. So we spend our lives like robots who are sorting thoughts and emotions. Here are the good ones. Here are the bad ones. Got to get more good ones. Got to get less bad ones. But that's a totally robotic existence. When we relax into the nature and essence of all those appearances, we find that to label things as good or bad and to make a life built on that is just very sad. Really sad. When all they are, whether they're called positive or negative, they're empty space, forever empty space. And in that is not nihilism. In that is the heartbeat of love and wisdom and tremendous energy. No matter what great ideas you have had in life, and no matter what great things you've accomplished, or if you've accomplished nothing, the resolution of it all is in the basic space of awareness, the basic space of phenomena. So So if you feel moved to accomplish great things, anything that you've been accomplishing from point of view, looking at everything in terms of points of view, just many orders of magnitude greater will be your accomplishments in relaxing as awareness and getting to know awareness as the basis. So it isn't something I'm suggesting that's based on any kind of philosophy, but more on the nature of what we really are as human beings and what we can experience in our own awareness. We've reached the end of all philosophies, actually. We've reached the end of all philosophies. All these nitpicking philosophies that have come out of awareness attempting to hold the points of view. In awareness alone, there is that which has never held to any conceptual framework, never held to any philosophy. And so in that, we reach our super completeness as human beings. It's just about being human. It doesn't need to hold to any kind of cultural tradition or tradition of any country or race or anything. Awareness has never been dependent on any of these things. So see, when we get to know ourselves in this way, we get to know the truly exalted nature of being human. And it's an adventure within ourselves, yet it includes everything. It has no inner or outer. And how does this adventure take place? It takes place with our own circumstantial points of view, the circumstantial points of view of our own life. We don't have to exchange any of our points of view. We don't have to cash them in. We don't have to get rid of them. In just relaxing, we come to see that all of our own appearances, no matter what they are, lack an independent nature. They lack an independent existence. The personal identity lacks an independent existence, and all other points of view also lack an independent existence. And how does that philosophy come alive in our own experience? In whatever appears within us. You know, if we keep saying, all these other points of view, I can see that they don't have an independent nature and I'm able to relax. But when this point of view comes up, I refuse to relax. I'm just going to get into it in any way that I need to in order to find relief. So that can be very tempting, especially with negative states. They feel so powerful. They feel like an enemy or a foe. We've trained ourselves to believe this, that they are an enemy or foe. So when they come up, we seek relief in any way just because the pain is so great. But the greatest reliever to that pain is to simply rest in awareness and know that they do not have an independent nature. The relief cannot come from seeking an antidote. So say a powerful force of negativity comes up, impending doom or panic or whatever it is, and we reach for the bottle, whether it's a bottle of pills or a bottle of booze or a joint or whatever it is, then we've adopted an antidote. We've said, yep, this is real, and I can conquer it by these means with this antidote. But when we begin to rest as awareness, we see that awareness really does have mastery over all points of view. Awareness really has mastery over all phenomena. This may come all at once to us, or it may not. It may come gradually. Whether it comes all at once or gradually matters not. And even if we're resting as awareness and one time we're able to rest as awareness when this big negative surge comes up and the next time we adopt an antidote, it matters not. Just get back up and rest as awareness. So, you know, these negative states can seem extremely powerful and it may not happen all at once that we're able to rest as that. Just as when I described all the sensations are forever blended, with awareness. There would never be any sensation without awareness. So too, these negative urges are forever blended with awareness. They don't have any other essence or nature. They don't have a nature that can overpower anyone, and there's no one to overpower. There's only this appearance of the extremely negative state that's forever blended with forever empty awareness. So you see, when we relax as that, then we achieve complete mastery over all phenomena, complete mastery over all points of view. This may come quickly and it may come slowly. It matters not. If we fall down and we can't rest as awareness, so what? Maybe next time we'll be able to. Just be very gentle with yourself. This isn't an awareness contest or some kind of Olympics of awareness where we're putting together all the best athletes. It's not like that at all. It's right here. I can attest to this. And, you know, no matter what the points of view are of your life, and believe me, I've had some hideous ones. I'd be willing to share stories with anyone. I'll bet you anything that my hideous points of view are worse than your hideous points of view. So here, there was resting as awareness that achieved mastery over all that. You see all these things that seem so real and compelling and as reasons for me to feel shame, humiliation, guilt, fear, and or a combination of all those things to avoid the world and avoid relationships. That's a course I could have taken. I could have easily taken that course. And all of us have a choice to take that course, but I chose not to take that course. And I'm a human being just like anyone else. I'm a human being who chose not to take that course. I'd had enough, you know. And 25 years ago, I had had enough. I was sick and tired of the way that it all played out, and it wasn't leading anywhere. And so I chose relief. And quickly I realized there was no one at the control panel, only awareness. No, there's only awareness in all of its majestic appearances. The magnificent display of whatever it is. So, you know, with anything that's being faced by anyone in this room, know that it's possible to rest as awareness. It doesn't matter what it is. It really does not matter what it is. Don't ever settle for any idea about anything, no matter how long you live. Do not settle for any idea about anything, because to hold any idea of anything as that's the way it's going to be from now on, it's just so limiting. It's so totally limiting. Every single moment is the supreme moment of complete, wide open spaciousness that's never been tied to anything. Completely open, pure space that is entirely restful and filled with an energy beyond anything that can ever be cooked up through points of view and taking them to be real. And all this is not something that requires exertion. Look at this. It's all completely relaxed, no matter what it is. Even a nuclear blast is completely relaxed. It comes from space, is comprised of space, and returns to space and is space all the while. Completely relaxed. So what does that have to say about everything else? These powerful urges and surges, and they just are whatever they are. They come and they go. And their label, even though it is vivid and distinct and clear in so many ways, there's nothing there but space. There's never been anything independent that's existed anywhere. It can't be found to be so. Many of us can spend our whole life on trial for our points of view. You know, it's just like we're in a courtroom our entire life, and we're on trial for our points of view. We're sitting up there in the witness stand. We're on trial. This could kill us. And we look out and we see that, wow, the prosecutor looks just like us. And so does the defense attorney. And then we look at the jury and they all look like us too, like in The Matrix, you know, where there are 10 million Neos. And we look at the judge with one of those foolish little wigs. And the judge looks just like us too. But you know, we're always completely exonerated because none of these points of view, including that of a personal identity, has an independent nature. And it's just like, if it did, then it would be very real during all states of our day, waking, dreaming, and sleeping. But we go to sleep at night and all there is awareness with no idea whatsoever of a personal identity or any other points of view. We need this rest desperately, the rest from taking all these points of view to be real. And when we wake up, we wake up as the spaciousness of wide open awareness, inclusive of all points of view. And we can carry that complete ease and restfulness with us no matter what appears. Now, you know, at one time in my life, I faced this incredible negativity where no matter what I turned, I didn't have any positive points of view. There were only negative points of view. That's all I could see. Everywhere I looked out there and everyone, you didn't look very good. I didn't want to have anything to do with you. You know, I'd lost all of my trust in everything because I had had this dramatic and traumatic assault on my physical body, and I had completely lost trust in everything. Everything I had believed as being good, right, that would uphold me all of my life. I saw that even though I had had many good acts in my life, they led nowhere. You know, they led to this. No matter what I had tried to do in my life, and I had accomplished a great, great deal as a young woman, no matter how good I had tried to lead my life, it had resulted in this. So, you know, I looked out, and when I looked out, I didn't see anyone I trusted. And I books, they meant nothing to me anymore. All the ideas I had ever learned, I didn't trust any of those either. I saw that they came from nowhere and they led to nowhere. And when I looked inside, I couldn't find anyone in there who was in control. You know, there wasn't anyone in control. All these thoughts and emotions that were overpowering and negative in every conceivable way, they weren't, didn't only seem to be in here, but out there as well. So I not only felt fear, like that horrible gripping fear, but paranoia. I don't know how many of you have ever experienced that paranoid fear of just not trusting anyone or anything. And I thought, wow, I don't think I want to go on like this. You know, this doesn't look good. I'm a young woman. What if I feel like this the rest of my life? This doesn't seem like it can lead anywhere very good. And I felt completely hopeless and powerless. No philosophy could serve as a band-aid. None of the other antidotes I'd learned could serve as a band-aid, like to have a drink of alcohol or to take a drug or to search for someone to support me in some way. Everything people said to me sounded totally hollow. And I thought, you know, everything I've heard from people all of my life it hasn't gotten me through the situation, you know. So everything to me seemed to be a lie. You know, like all the best ideas I had learned had gotten me to that point. And I could see all of this very vividly. And I felt completely helpless and powerless. Yet in the midst of that, what occurred to me within my very own awareness was that all of these things that were appearing, that no matter what they looked like, they had the same underlying basis. No matter what they were, no matter what the label or description was, no matter what the appearance looked like, all the different people involved, myself, all the labels I applied to everything, but it all had the same underlying basis that was its entire basic space, that nothing that appeared, no matter what it was, had an independent nature. No matter the points of view that I thought about myself or about anyone else in this devastating circumstance. So I noticed that with that, I had a choice with everything that appeared to either rest as that relief that was the entire basic space of the appearance, or to cling to the label and try to prove that all my labels meant something, that all these points of view really meant something. So I could continue the frustrating, dauntless task of living a life of trying to prove that everything was real, or I could choose the relief that is the entire space of all appearances. So I chose the relief. Over and over again, I chose the relief. When my own ideas about what was going on would come up, I chose that relief to rest as awareness, to rest as that complete relief. And when lots of other people's ideas came up and said, oh, you know, that one, they're bad, they're awful, you know, this is horrible, this is a terrible thing, this, that, and the other thing, I thought, well, you know, that may be one way of looking at it, but it's not the only way. There are lots of ways to look at this. It all depends on what beliefs they're held to. That's all it depends on, what beliefs they're held to, and what kind of... What do I really want? Do I want all these beliefs of myself and others, or do I just want what the relief is that is the basis of everything? So you see, this is how I know that it's possible for everyone, no matter who you are. No matter who you are and no matter how negative your circumstances might be, whether you've done horrible things in your life or great things, or like all of us, somewhere in between, I just invite everyone to get to know the true nature of reality and to return to that again and again, as much as is needed by yourself and everyone else. If we take it as a personal endeavor, something to just make our own life better, then we can attain a very limited kind of mental freedom. But if upon attaining that limited mental freedom, we continue to rest without attaching to that mental freedom as being something, then we'll find an expansive space of wisdom and super intelligence, supreme intelligence, peaceful intelligence, wise intelligence, the power to be of tremendous benefit. If we're willing to not even hold to that idea of personal mental freedom, beyond that is explicit freedom. To be in all situations, whatever they are, without impediment.